Welcome to Why Am I Laughing? The podcast.
Hey everyone, and welcome to the podcast. My name is Ben Harris. With me, as always, is my co-host, RJ Sines.
I'm okay.
We're your in-house comedy gurus who talk about what's funny, why it's funny, and all the hottest professional football teams that you've never heard of.
Like the Arlington Space Badgers.
They're pretty hot, only in Arlington.
Yeah.
You got the Milwaukee Texas Rangers.
But you just mix up two actual things.
Rangers are baseball.
Have you heard of the Carlsbad Cookie Hamsters?
Are they professional?
Well, they're going to be.
They're in a division and it's in a league.
Yeah, you've never heard of them, but they're there.
That's so good. Today we're talking about improvisational comedy. Improv is basically just a fancy way of saying making it up on the spot, but there's so much more that goes into it, right?
Probably.
I mean, improv something right now. Ready, go.
Ah, I'm on fire. Help me.
Hey, that's improv. I laughed. Okay, oh yeah, before we get into all that goodness, RJ's going to take us through the wonderful world of comedy news.
Yay.
Cheers to that.
Cheers. With our plastic cups. Because we're four. All right. So some news this week. You can go to Netflix and check out two new comedy specials. One of them by Garfunkel and Oates. Two very funny female comedian musicians. We talked about music and comedy not too long ago. I might have brought them up in passing. We didn't spend too much time talking about them, probably because they're only about 2 years old. But they do some really funny songs. They're quirky. They're cute. They have really good music, and their lyrics are really well written. You know, they got a lot of wiener jokes, but for the most part, I laughed. I laughed throughout just because it was really smart, intelligent humor.
That's good.
So yeah, Garfunkel and Oates, Trying to Be Special, is on Netflix.
Kate Micucci, we remember talking about her in
Don't Think Twice.
Don't Be Special. Yeah
don't, sorry. Don't think. That's a different movie. Don't want to talk about that one here. Don't Think Twice, which also has to do with improv, which is what we're talking about today. Bringing it full
time
circle.
It in.
Another special that you could potentially watch or enjoy is Gabriel Iglesias, I'm sorry for what I said when I was hungry. Which, when I read that, I said, more like, I'm sorry for how long this title is. Boring. I don't know. Give it a shot. It's not my cup of tea. Because in my mind, he's just always up there. He's like, and then how can you not eat a burrito? And then be like, ooh. Which might just be a racist caricature.
You're not wrong, but it's funny to me. I feel like he's best. He's in his wheelhouse when he's telling a good story. Okay, so I got my buddies, right? And we get into the back of the car, and I'm like,
ooh, whoa. Ooh, whoa.
And we get into the car, I'm like, like he's like, he's like, and it like a whole like environment of sound effects that he creates with just his little microphone.
He's not fat. He has an entire orchestra of stupid sound effects built inside of his body. That's all it is.
Well, that's his whole thing. He's not fat. He's fluffy.
And that's ridiculous, but I accept it. Well, the only reason I didn't like it is because he said fluffy, and then it was that picture of him on popcorn. I was like, popcorn's not fluffy. It's kind of crunchy. So, didn't really work.
Texture's what did it for you.
Strike three. You're out with the popcorn. Fluffy. More like corny, am I right? Hey. All right. Enough of that.
But Gabriel Iglesias is all right.
Yeah, he's okay. Some TV news. Felicity Jones from Rogue One is set to host Saturday Night Live on the 14th of January. Ben, you might remember Felicity Jones from Rogue One. That's a film that I know you saw at least three times.
You're not wrong.
It was good.
It was so good.
Yeah. You think she's funny?
That's the real question. I mean, she's British. She's British looking.
Her teeth are British looking, that's for sure. But like, it's the classic like British teeth where like all you see is just their two front teeth gently resting above their bottom lip. It's like, oh yeah, they're British.
You look like she's about to say like, hello, governor.
But it looks like they're about to say the F word or like a F word. like constantly in that face. And I'm like, just close your lips, close your lips, close your lips, close your lips.
But yeah, I don't know. I have no idea. She's got like the theory of everything.
Yeah, that was good.
It's a good movie, but it's not.
It's not comedy.
Nearly a comedy. She's in the upcoming next edition of like the Da Vinci Code books and movies called Inferno with Tom Hanks.
Boy,
we're gonna steal the Declaration of Independence.
The Mona Lisa is a map to Underground Railroad. Like, all that stuff. Yeah, okay, so Felicity Jones could be a huge hit. And this is where these kind of stars really shine on SNL, because we go into it being a bunch of idiots, being like, oh, Felicity Jones, you're not that funny. And then she does some really funny sketches. Yeah. The writers really work with her to make some funny Rogue One spoof or whatever, and I'm sure it'll be a good time.
I guarantee you, yeah, they'll have Star Wars spoof, and spoof on her being British.
Yeah, now that Star Wars is cranking out a movie every year for the next millennia, SNL is guaranteed to dedicate one show to like multiple Star Wars sketches, mm-hmm. which I love.
Taron Killam's gonna play Han.
No, Taron Killam's not on the show.
What?
Bro. Yeah.
He's off?
I swear to you, I found out like last week. Aww. I was like, oh yeah, Taron Killam's totally still on SNL. Oh wait, no, he's totally not.
That's so sad.
I know, right? Shows how much you've been watching.
Well, yeah, that's true.
You haven't missed out on much. Except David S. Pumpkin's like the only thing you right need now to see.
I saw that. But, oh man, that's really a bummer. I really liked him. He was coming into his own.
Yeah.
Why can't everyone just be Keenan and stay forever?
Well, yeah. I don't know. It's just, SNL's kind of like a funnel to fame or never see you again.
Right.
So, Taron.
Except for Keenan, he stayed there since Good Burger.
Yeah. And that's where I feel like Daryl Hammond, he was on,
right.
He's the longest cast member ever on SNL. And there's people like him, like, you're just born to do this.
Right.
You're good on almost any improv scene. You're a well-rounded characters player. You work well with the cast. But, I don't know. Great impressions. Yeah. Oh, so many.
But that's so funny, because I was just watching Scrubs, and I was watching Taron Killam, he's in like early Scrubs, and I had no idea, but I saw him and I was like, this is the best thing ever. He's David the overly touchy orderly.
Oh.
So he just comes up and he's like, where's the stress? Is it here? And he's like touching Zach Braff's entire face.
I'm sure he loved that.
It's funny.
Yeah.
And then there's a bit where he does like all of his characters. He does his Tom Brady. No. Who's just broke up with Angelina Jolie?
Brad Pitt.
Brad Pitt, not Tom anything. He's like, boo, got the boo. That's his.
That's it?
That's his bit.
Okay.
It's funny. Anyway, Taron Killam's not on SNL anymore. That's news to me.
Yeah, miss you, buddy.
Anyway, the topic that we're talking about today is improvisational comedy. Like we said, that can be anything made up, or it can be very specific. There's keys to it, there's not keys to it. It's very loose but very structured. It's all over the place.
Yeah, and like improv doesn't, it's not just for comedy. You know, jazz musicians improvise, artists can improvise, right, on the spot. I mean, improvisation is just a fancy word for just making it stuff up.
Yeah. So as a concept, it's not that funny, but here's the thing. That's the definition of this podcast, is to tell you why it's funny. Ooh. So here we go. Improv comedy is, it's like, it's funny because it's like magic, or if magic were funny.
No, it's funny like magic is funny, right?
Is magic funny to you?
Yeah.
I'm kind of like taken back by magic. Are you laughing when somebody gets sawed in half?
Well, you're kind of like, ah!
Okay, I understand what you're saying. But you're right. It's so impressive when a performer can create a performance out of nothing. You can't help but laugh with excitement or maybe just amazement. But where improv comedy is at its best is when the performer or performers can create not only impressive material, but also provide witty and insightful surprises as a part of the act.
Yeah. I mean, if you've ever seen improv, you know, I've done some improv in the past. You've done improv. We've both done improv together. But watching it, like, whose line is it anyway? You see these guys or girls or people make up something. You see their brain start to move, and they just seem to pull together scenes, characters, impressions just out of nowhere. And it's, you know, we talk a lot about the betrayal of the joke is what makes it funny. It's such an impressing thing to see someone, you know, make it up, right? But then for them to do like a spot on, like Richard Simmons impression, and it's just so gold. Like you're like, oh my gosh, I wasn't expecting anything. This betrays everything that I was expecting this to be, because it could have been a total fluke. And mind you, a lot of improv, you know, can go bad fast. I'm thinking of the... Hey, did you see Monsters University?
Yeah.
Mike Wazowski's on like first day, and he's like trying to sign up for different clubs. And some guy's like, hey, sign up for the improv club. You'll always, if, when, and, oh, dang it. And that's like so true. Like there's people who get up there and try to like kid make something up and they just lose it. So it's a little bit of talent, a little bit of skill, and we're gonna get into like some of all of that today.
But yeah, give us a brief history of improv.
Yeah, so improv as a comedic art or an acting art can go back even to the 1890s and Russian theater, the 1600s in Italy with street performers, and even as early as like 300 BC with ancient Rome. There are a couple plays that like specifically had characters that would like do certain tropes or whatever, but it would be different every time. One of the big faces for improv, at least in my mind, is Viola Spolin, one of the master teachers of acting. She's amazing. She's one of the greats. She's considered the game queen. A lot of her warm-ups, a lot of her methods come from fun and lightheartedness and learning in these experiences like that. Her son, Paul Sills, actually started Second City in Chicago in 1959.
Brilliant.
So here you have like a direct blood descendant of one of the most creative, insightful, improvisational teachers starting improv in America, comedic improv performances. Second City is one of the big names for improv theater. I mean, there's Improv Olympics, Second City, Groundlings, like all kinds of like improv troupes that are in different cities around the globe. But Second City is definitely widely recognized as one of the best in the biz. And they'll just come out and do shows, and they'll be like, "All right, we saw Don't Think Twice," and that's exactly that. It's like, okay, who's got a suggestion? You. And someone's like, "I mowed my lawn today. What do you have to say about that?" And they're like, "Oh, okay, well, here you. What's your favorite celebrity? Tobey Maguire." Like, okay, that sounds great. Here we go. Oh, Tobey Maguire, I'm so sad. I'm mowing my lawn. Like, they'll do something like that. That's not a very funny example, but like, they'll like make stuff up like that.
Why is your Tobey Maguire always sad?
Because I'm thinking of him in all the Spider-Mans that he was in, where his secret power is spider tears.
And he's like, ah.
I want to be Spider-Man, but I can't be Spider-Man sometimes.
That is hard for him. That's so good.
He's got an ugly cry face, too. If you want to screenshot that and then send it to me, I will try my best to do this impression again sometime in the whale mail.
But so, yeah, it looks like it's just a bunch of people up there just making stuff up, which sometimes it is. But here's the thing. There's actually more rules to it than it lets on, because it's very easy to look at it and going and just say like, wow, they just made it up. These are just funny guys that are just making stuff up.
But
they're actually falling into some pretty strict rules.
Yeah, we got 10 rules that are pretty hard and fast for all around the board improv, comedic improv anyways. So let's start with number one. What do we got?
Number one is listen. And this is easier said than done. But you know, you have to be attentive. Even so much as like, this can be listen / be patient.
Yeah.
Like just wait for the scene to naturally unfold.
Yeah.
You know, you're just speaking back and forth, listening. You can kind of create a picture of where you think this is happening, and then slowly defining where you are, is a key to a good improv.
Right.
Because you don't want to just come out right away and just say, so this chicken coop is great.
Yeah.
It's like, whoa, okay, you've jumped to a place. Now I have to catch up. And the other, like, if you are attentive and patient, like this is going to help you a lot
mm-hmm.
in improv.
Definitely.
Here's a question before we go through the rest of the rules. Do you think anyone can improv?
I think anyone can improv. I do.
I do too.
I will also say that some people are more naturally gifted than others.
Sure, yes.
But if you think about it, for those of you listening at home, you're like, I couldn't get up on a stage and make up a Tobey Maguire impression. You're yes, probably you can. Right.
Oh,
sorry. But my point is, you improvise more things than you think. Our brain does a lot of automatic decisions Shortcuts. For us all the time while we're yeah. driving. You know, you might be driving and you're like, oh, I thought I was going home and here I am at the Starbucks. I'm not even kidding you. I've been meaning to drive someplace and then all of a sudden I'm like, oh, I'm totally on autopilot. I'm going home. Your brain is making it up for you. Your brain is connecting the dots almost subconsciously. And that's where I think like at our core, like we can tap into that. Right. It just takes a lot of work and some of us have it more naturally.
Yeah. So if as you're listening, hearing these rules and you're thinking, I'm not good at improv or this is not for me. It is.
You probably are.
You can take this and apply this. But go for rule number two, Rach.
Rule number two is agreement. Saying yes and adding something, not rejecting ideas. This is the yes and idea.
So this is perfect. Let's do a bad example
yeah, yeah.
of yes and.
Yeah.
Hey, RJ, this is a great roller rink. Are you excited to skate?
I don't want to skate. I don't even like roller rinks. I'm going to go home. Bye. Like, total denial, total rejection.
And immediately. Then, that is end scene that right is there. Like
curtains.
I cannot go forward at all. Like, you have not allowed me to progress in this improv at all. Like, you've shut me down.
Yeah, yeah. So, the yes and rule is a practice that is so fun and also can sometimes be a burden because players or actors, improvisers know that they almost always have to agree to what's happening and even adding on to that. So if, you know, your partner up on stage is like, hey, I think you need to take off your shoes and then like lick the floor to make sure it's, you know, sanitary. The other person can't deny it. So in their mind, they're like, gosh, dang it. Oh, wait, but you know what? You got to check with me because I've had a bit of a cold and my sinuses are out of whack. So it's saying yes.
You don't want to say, no, I don't want to do that because then you've disagreed with them and now you have to start from scratch.
Right.
You want to bring them along on something or just go for it.
Exactly, exactly. So not rejecting ideas and always being open to the possibility of what could happen naturally.
And that leads straight into rule number three, which is teamwork. Always have a group mind. If you set up others for success, you will look better as an improver. So if you can create something where the next person's line is just gonna, you know, bowl right over the audience and knock them over, mm-hmm. like that is, you're a good improver because you're thinking about the group. You're thinking of more than just how can I survive this situation. You're establishing a scene, it's really a partnership or a group effort.
Yeah, it's a hive mind kind of mentality, and more experienced players or comedians really know what that's like. And I can't really explain it, but it's kind of a you just get a intuition of what potentially could happen without directly verbally explaining it to your teammates or your partners. And you know, for those of you who know, I've never improv, you've been on a sports team perhaps. Like, when you're out there on the field with a soccer ball or what have you,
sure.
like, you can just see someone from across the field and they know, like, oh, yeah, they want me to run up and, right. like, go for the goal or do a bicycle kick or whatever. Mm. Like, I don't play
sports.
We're not sports. Yeah. This isn't the right place for sport talk. I'm looking at you, Arlington Space Badgers. But yeah, I think that the hive mind is something that is a big part of that teamwork.
Definitely.
And also plays into rule number four, which is don't block, which means like the opposite of hive mind, the person who is stealing jokes, not listening, constantly changing topic,
right.
almost like stealing it, so mm-hmm. to speak. Like someone up there is like, all right, so you give me an example
of
you say a prompt and I'll be the bad person.
Okay. Yeah, man, this taxi's kind of cold. Do you want to split the cab fare?
Actually, you know what? I'll go ahead without you. I think Tom Cruise and Robin Williams are in here, so I'm going to check out with them. You stay in here. Oh, what's going on here?
and like, do an impression.
And do impressions and, yeah. like,
so this is, it's very similar to you know, the opposite of agreement or just say yes. Like if you're saying no, you're shutting things down. But also if you pick up and run with it, like faster than the other players are ready to go, or if you're just taking a situation and changing it so you can have what you want to happen. You know, mm-hmm. I just wanted to get into a cab and split the fare with this guy, and he's like, no, I'm going to go hang out with Tom Cruise. That's suddenly the scene has become something way bigger than I can handle as, you know, somebody else in the scene. And
right.
you've changed the whole situation and you've messed it up.
Exactly.
So, which feeds straight into rule number 5, which is relationship. You need to be focusing on the connection of the characters, not just a subject of a scene. You need to be thinking, how does my character relate to RJ's character?
Mm-hmm.
How does RJ's character relate to my character? You know, and that this is kind of basic scene stuff, yeah. Not even just improv.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, we're writing a story here. You're writing a story on the fly, and, you know, relationship is a huge point of this. Who am I? What am I? And that's a part of, like, rule number 6, which I would say is almost similar, the initiation. Except I would say initiation is more so, like, lights go dark and come back on. You know, what is it? You need to know your who, what, when, and where to set the scene. And sometimes you might not be the person who's initiating, right? You might be partner number 2, and partner number 1 says, all right, well, we got to go kill Jaws. And you were thinking, like, you know, space badgers or something. Mm-hmm. And so you're like, you have to be able to snap into that initiation phase.
Right. It's a very loose sense of who, what, and when.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not necessarily ready to jump and say, this is exactly what we're doing. You need to be attentive. You need to be, you know, listening and agreeing and thinking about teamwork and stuff.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But then when it comes in, you know, stepping into your character and performing that character.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
Number 7 would be your point of view or opinion and intention. You know, you need to bring more depth to your character. You need to have this stuff to help express and build your character.
Yeah.
So, as you're going through your scene, you've said it, you've figured out who you are, you know, you're in the cab, you're splitting the fare, you realize that these are longtime friends, and now, you know, getting more deep into your point of view. Why are you guys good friends? And then,
right.
So a part of this, a really big part of this, improv as a whole is not something that you need to try and be funny at.
Mm-hmm.
Improv by itself is funny,
mm-hmm.
because an audience is watching, like you said, like in amazement already.
Yeah,
this isn't written.
How did they make?
They
this
didn't
up?
Do this. They're making this up. That's crazy.
Yeah,
and even if the scene is, you know, two guys that are just talking and chatting away, you can see performers' wheels turning.
Yeah,
and you can see that they're trying to go along with the scene, and therefore you're already ready to laugh.
Yeah, so it's an even easier laugh,
right,
for the improvisational comedian, because they, as long as they're trying their best to be in character, have the right relationships, to have agreement, to listen,
mm-hmm.
a lot of the comedy comes very naturally,
yeah,
based on the surprise factor or betrayal factor of the joke, if you will. But, you know, the real creme de la creme players, I'm talking about like Robin Williams status,
right.
I mean, these are comedians who have so much material built into their head that it is like everything out, yeah. of their mouth is
and
gold.
Also they've taken this process,
yeah.
and ingrained it within themselves so that they can just let their natural funny selves come forward.
Right, so now we're on number 8, right? Be in character. Just a simple rule, maintain your character throughout the scene. And this kind of goes along with not breaking.
Mm-hmm.
Breaking is the act of Jimmy Fallon laughing in the middle of a sketch. So when you watch that on to the Tonight Show, know that that's breaking a rule.
Right.
You're technically, by the rules, not allowed to break character when you're in a scene.
Which a lot of people will laugh at somebody laughing.
Yeah.
Oh, you know,
I'm
Bill
doing
Hader.
Something called breaking.
Tracy Jordan.
Yeah.
But yeah, Bill Hader in SNL when he covers his mouth because he's trying not to laugh.
Stefan.
Yeah. Like, it makes you laugh more, but technically he's breaking the rules.
Technically
like,
he's breaking the
like,
rules.
that character wouldn't laugh because that character is crazy. Mm-hmm. Bill Hader would laugh, and so he's starting to break back into Bill Hader.
Right, right. Which I will agree, breaking will be funny, but when it's someone who does it all the time, like everyone knows Jimmy Fallon's notorious for breaking character on SNL. But to be in character throughout the whole scene is something that's very difficult, especially a complex character or a character with an accent or a weird voice.
Right. Yeah. Breaking can be subtle too. It doesn't have to be, you know, breaking from the character that you've established back to yourself. It can be breaking from the character you've established into something that character wouldn't do. You know, you've established that you're from South Boston and I can't do a South Boston, but then, yeah, you break into a Southern California accent and you're like, what, this isn't the same person anymore.
Yeah And then that throws,
which is why I could never choose to do accents, because I can't hold an accent
come on
for
you
longer
always,
than
you
5 seconds.
Do the, I need a quarter for a glass of water for my
something like I need a quarter for some water for my daughter's dog.
Yeah,
but that's all I can do. I can't do that. I'll go,
but then
I pack
and I have it. Yeah exactly.
Yes, here's your double cheeseburger. How did we get on this? But anyway, did you do number 9? Don't ask questions.
Nah, that's you.
Yeah. So, if you pepper the scene with too many questions, you're gonna pull yourself apart. You know,
you've
this is a very thinly like constructed project. You don't want to blow on it too hard.
Well, and that's the thing. It's an illusion, right? This whole thing, I mean, we kind of keep going back and forth between magic tricks and the analogy there, but it really is an illusion. And when you start saying, like, wait, who are you?
Yeah.
And wait, where are we? Mm-hmm. And wait, what day is it? Like, then the audience starts going, oh, they know they're in an improv.
Right.
Right. This is just made. I get it. We know what we're doing. But when you really are invested and you're just going with it, and like, the best improvisers don't ask the questions, and so it leaves the audience guessing, like, do they know what they're talking about? And then all of a sudden they end up like on some ridiculous topic, and they, oh my gosh, they were tracking with the whole time. They both knew each other what they were talking about.
So the opposite of that would be rule number 10, which is
make active choices.
Exactly.
Do something. Don't just be standing there and be like, so like, you want to go get some pizza? And the person's like, well, depends what kind of pizza. Like, you want to be able to move the scene forward in a way that gives some physical comedy. Improvisational comedy is very physical, you know, jumping, moving around, miming things. All these actions are so important to, you know, I'm thinking of Whose Line Is Anyway, right? They'll mime like objects.
Right. If somebody picks up a football and hands it to you, you better believe that you like have a football in your hand.
Yeah.
You better like act like you have a football in your hand.
Exactly.
That is, you're watching that and you're watching somebody who's buying into an improv.
Exactly.
If they just like are holding it with two hands wide open, it doesn't make sense. They don't buy it.
Yeah. So those were 10 big rules, but the three easy rules come from...
To kind of sum up.
Yeah, three easy rules you can always remember. This is straight out of Don't Think Twice. This movie just came out about improv. Say yes, it's about working as a group, and don't think.
Right.
So that's it.
And which is so counterintuitive, because all of these things that we're saying is establish character, think about who you are, set the scene, you know, all this stuff. At the same time, you need to be in a state that is... Like your brain is just flowing. Your brain is shut off.
Yeah.
Which, go into that more. There's actually some legitimate science to that.
Here's a perfect example. A jazz musician.
Yes.
If you see someone playing the piano, oh, I'm just going to do a little... If you've seen Whiplash, like, you know what I'm talking about. Like, there's some crazy things that people can do just going with it and like kind of getting into this different state of consciousness. But here's some interesting actual like brain analysis here. So Charles Lim, who teaches at both Johns Hopkins Medical School and the Peabody Conservatory of Music, has used the MRIs to look at the brain of the improviser. So a distinctive feature of the improvising brain is a pattern of disassociation in the prefrontal cortex. And that's where a lot of our decisions are made. Now, if you're disassociating from how we normally make decisions everything else that's lighting up in the medial part of your brain region, and the lateral areas, it's basically just like, the way I think of it is your brain goes, all right, shut off the decision maker, open all the files from memories. Yeah, we'll bring out the memories, pop culture references, open the files there, just throw them out on the floor, throw them out on the floor, and dance moves, open all of the, everything you know on dance moves, and just start throwing things on the floor so that this improviser's up there. And now not only are they able to shut off what's going on around them, but be able to access what's actually in there already. So they've done all this practice, done all this work, and what comes out is the hard work, the funny, the random, the where did this come from? It's all in their head.
It's turning that process of all the rules and guidelines that we set up into a flow.
Right.
Into a non-thinking flow.
Exactly.
Where everything just comes right out.
And cognitive neuroscientist Jamshed Parruka of Tufts University spoke very similarly about creative spontaneity. This is a great quote. He says, "You can't improvise if you haven't been engaged in learning. Practice, guidance, discipline, a lot of hard work. There's a myth about creativity as magic. And as a scientist, I don't believe in magic, but in years and years of mastering what's already there so you can go beyond it." And I'm like, yeah, that makes so much more sense. Like,
right.
The people who are the best in the biz do a lot of work. And the result is when they're able to unwind and release that tension, that's where the gold is.
Magic through science.
Exactly. Magic through science. You know, the farther we get along in science, the more we just realize it's just magic.
I saw just
magic. You know, never believe it's not so.
I was going with Coldplay, but
oh, really?
That works. So anyway, that is the process you want to do. But here's the thing. We're going to try out some improv for you.
Ooh.
Live on the podcast. So from now on, consider us off notes, totally winging it off the top of our head. Are you ready, Rage?
I'm a loose cannon.
That's good. That's a good sign. We're going to start with some word association. Okay, you ready?
How does it work?
It works by I say a word and then you say something that goes with it. And then I say something that goes with whatever you say. Word. So it doesn't also have to just be like the last phrase. Like if I say Times Square, you can say ball drop. Like New York. Like you can
go. Okay, so it's not just necessarily word association. It could also be like the actual thing association.
Right. Hint, there's no wrong answer. It's word association, whatever you think of.
Dude. Oh, cool.
So just whatever I say, you react to, and that's the first thing you say.
Okay.
Don't think. Here we go. Ready?
Okay. I want to start.
You want to start?
Okay, go. Ready?
Ready.
50% discount.
Discounted hardware.
Hardware. Ace Hardware.
Ace Peanuts Gang.
Womp, womp, womp.
Parents are the worst.
I love my dad.
Daddy's home.
Will Ferrell.
Colin Firth.
Bridget Jones's baby.
Baby got back.
Back. Baby back ribs.
In sync.
Backstreet's back.
Good job.
I just keep going back and forth.
In my head, I skipped an association. You said Will Ferrell, and I said Colin Firth.
Yeah.
Because in my head, I went Will Ferrell, Colin Farrell. Colin Firth.
That's where I was like, wait.
Oh, man, I'm a little too good at that.
A little rusty for me.
I know, yeah. Oof. But so the point of that is to get you going, just saying the first thing that comes off your head.
Yeah.
So now we're going to play this other game called Movie Star, and that is typically an audience would say the name of a movie. For instance, we're going to name a movie, and RJ's going to name it off the top of his head. Ready? Go.
Cabinet Police.
Okay, so this movie's called Cabinet Police, and RJ is going to be interviewed because he's the star of Cabinet Police. Ready?
Oh, I'm being interviewed?
Sure. Hey, Chip Daly. My name is Doug McFerguson. I'm here with Ace Movie Reviews, and we're here to talk about Cabinet Police.
Yeah, yeah.
You excited about this movie coming out?
Well, you know, it's going to be fun. The spinoff, you know, didn't turn out as well as we wanted, but I think that this more direct sequel to Refrigerator Police is going to be really good.
Yeah, I mean, are you kidding me? Cabinet Police, is just a fun thrill ride, which is, it's funny, it's different, Chip, than a lot of your other movies that you've done. You've been a more dramatic actor in the past. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, I think being more in dramatic roles, and especially silent films mostly, so I don't really say anything at all, and now I'm kind of up in front and, you know, doing car jumps or whatever.
Yeah, it was a lot of donuts. Sound effects provided by you in
it's
this
true.
Movie.
Yeah, it was all me. You know, we had the classic R2-D2 scream, which was me. We also had like some varieties of farts, which, you know, I didn't fart really, but like I provided the farts for other things, like
wow. And so, correct me if I'm wrong, the silent films were silent.
That's correct.
Okay, thank you. So you didn't need to provide those sound effects in those movies?
No, they were all silent.
Could you remind me again, what are some of those other titles of your silent films?
The Masked Bandit is one of them. That was from 03.
I love Sonny McAllister and The Boys.
Yeah, The Boys was a fun one to do. Unfortunately, you know, it didn't really get good reception in the box office like we wanted to.
Yeah, I mean, you guys really took a gamble, you know, being a silent film but also having no subtitles. That was just a risk that I don't think the box office was ready for.
Yeah, it's really like post-indie kind of a film. I don't think, you know, people were really ready for it yet, but we'll hit Sundance again soon with this this other silent film we've been working on called Grandma's Looking for Gold.
Wow. Well, from all the people at Ace Movie Reviews, I can say, Chip Mixer, thank you for stopping in with us. We're excited.
It's Daly.
Chip Daly, I'm so sorry. Thank you for stopping in with us. We're going to take a short commercial break, and we'll be right back.
Yeah, whatever.
And scene.
Hey, that was fun.
So was that funny or was that not funny?
Well, that's the thing. It's like we said, we don't do improv comedy to be funny. You do improv comedy to do improv, and the funny comes out of it.
But yeah, that is a solid example of some improv for you. So that's what we got for you guys. There's a little history in improv in real life. We hope it was fun for you.
It's fun for me.
Oh, twist.
I know.
This show usually isn't fun for you.
I know. It's really crazy.
Wow. But
new
you know
year,
what?
New
yep. You know what that means? It's the part of the show that we like to call Ben's Wacky Facts.
Wacky. I didn't mean to step over your last line, man. That's not in the rules of improv.
Yeah, you really messed me up.
I know.
Okay, so Ben's Wacky Facts is where I say some facts and then RJ rates them by putting them on a baseball field.
Yeah.
Is the batter ready?
Oh, there's more than one.
Is he teed up?
T-ball, ready to go.
Oh, it's T-ball edition. Here we go. For Ben's Wacky Facts, because improv is kind of a hard category to spew out some facts about, they're all about whose line's in it anyway.
Oh, very fun.
So here we go. In real life, Colin Mochrie and Ryan Stiles, the two kind of anchors of the show that are on every single episode that you'll ever see, they're best friends in real life.
Oh, come on.
Doesn't that just bring it home?
That's really great. That's like just really heartwarming too.
Right.
They have such a good connection like instantly when they do stuff. If you haven't seen Whose Line Is It Anyway, I'm going to put some videos in the show description and you'll laugh your butt off. These guys are so good.
Yeah.
So good and hilarious.
Yeah.
All right. That's pretty wacky. That's decently wacky. That is a guy out to bat and they're like, okay, here's the pitch. And he throws the ball and the guy hits it and it's going. And then wait, what's that? In comes a plane with a giant net, picks up the ball and takes it out for a home run.
Teamwork.
Teamwork, just, I don't know, just thinking in that vein of analogy.
Excellent.
It was cute.
So here's wacky fact number two. Greg Proops, or as I call him, Greg Poops.
He's got glasses, right?
yeah, he's the guy, the weird guy with the glasses. He was a featured player. There usually was, you know, your main two people, Ryan Stiles, Colin Mochrie, and then majority of the time you had
Wayne Brady.
Sitting in third chair. There was only a couple episodes that he wasn't in.
Mm-hmm.
But then the fourth chair was usually filled by either any celebrity they could get or some featured players. And Greg Proops was one of those featured players. He was on it a good amount of time. Mm-hmm. But anyway, he is in Star Wars Episode 1 as Fode, one of the two heads that do the commentary for the pod.
I don't care what planet you're from. That has gotta hurt. That guy?
That is Greg Proops. Oh
my gosh. Wow. And Ben Quadradero's having some power coupling problems.
This is like speaking into RJ's history of like where he gets his good announcer voice.
Yes, it's so true. Because one guy, well, it's an alien, uh-huh. Two heads. One head's like, and the other guy's like, and well, would you looky here? We got Ben Quadraneros, and he's having some problems down at the racetrack. It literally is what he sounds like.
And that's Greg Proops.
Little Anakin Skywalker coming in first. I'm freaking out. Ugh. Yeah. It's a funny bit.
Is that
a good
fact?
I didn't know it was Greg Proops.
Is that a good fact?
That's a really good fact.
Yeah. Like, what a jump from Whose Line Is It Anyway to Star Wars.
Yeah.
Even though those are, like, the worst ones.
Opinions. Yeah. Sure. Definitely.
Widely accepted as the worst ones.
Yeah, that's good. That's really good. That's a guy getting up to bat on the baseball field and... you know what? It's that two-headed alien up to bat. And then they're like, all right, here comes the pitch. And he hits it, and it is like a line drive, but somehow someone parked a pod racer on the field.
Yeah, yeah.
And it like bumps it, mm-hmm. and it sends the pod racer flying into the stands and like starts a fire, and they have to evacuate everyone out of the stadium.
And then Greg Proops says,
I don't care what planet you're from, that has gotta hurt.
I think he's
speaking Hutties.
Cool.
Yeah. Getting a little nerdy for you. But in case any of our listeners were wondering,
he said with his Star Wars Christmas shirt on.
Hey, I wear this every day, okay?
All right, here we go. Here's a pretty wacky fact.
Oh, wow. That last one was really wacky.
Even for facts. That are wacky. This is pretty wacky.
Okay.
Here's fact number 3. Recently, somebody went through each episode of... I almost said, why am I laughing?
You wish.
of Whose Line Is It Anyway? And calculated all the points from every show. And this is who comes in first.
And this is crazy because they say, Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Right. The whole point of the show is they go... This is Whose Line Is It Anyway. The points don't matter and nothing matters.
Yeah. The game show where the points don't matter.
Yeah.
So they calculated.
Some dude went through and calculated all the points.
No.
I'll start with last. But there's a ton of names that I don't know.
Okay.
I'll go for the most famous names. Coming in at last, you have Robin Williams with 1,000 points.
Wow.
That's all he got. I think he's in one episode.
Yeah,
he only got 1,000 points. Then coming in next to last, Whoopi Goldberg with 2,500. Stephen Colbert had 12,000 points. Mm. After that, you have Brad Sherwood. He was one of the featured players. He has 1,070,000 points. Then Greg Proops has got 1,000,000,000 points.
What?
And then in comes Colin Mockery, 3,000,000,000 points. Ryan Stiles, 11,000,000,000 points.
Oh my gosh.
And that means in first place is Wayne Brady.
Wow.
With 50,000,000,000 points.
No way.
He had, like, the exact number is 50,072,587,425.
Oh my gosh. So it's like my gosh.
Yes.
Could you imagine if they used decimal points in their rating system? That'd be, like, way crazy.
Well, Ryan Stiles is 11,113,372,791.5.
That's so cool.
Yeah, right?
I just don't know who's got the time.
Well, you're right.
Because at the end of the episode, they're like, all right, here's the tally of everybody's points. They will say, like... All right.
He just throws them away. Yeah.
5 points for Brian, 100 points for you, 1,000,000,000 points for you. Actually, you know what? -1,000 because you said that one thing. Like, they'll just, the whole episode, they're throwing out numbers.
Right.
That's the easiest analogy. That's a guy getting up to bat, and the guy goes and hits it, and is like, all right, he hits a line drive, he's going to be able to make it to first, and he gets it to first base, and they're like, oh, wait, he got to 5,675,000th base. And the guy's like, wait, this is just baseball. And they're like, wait, what game is this? And then he's
like, the bases don't matter.
I don't know. And then he just picks up the base and goes home.
Pretty crazy, right?
Yeah, I tried to make that analogy equally as crazy.
Yeah.
I might have done it injustice.
But I want to meet that guy. That guy's got time. He's got time to meet me. He's got time to count all those points.
Jeez. Man, yeah, if you're listening to the show and you happen to make all those points, could you go back and make points for all the wacky fact analogies, see how many home runs Ben has gotten? Because if we do three a show, and is there a 17th episode, and I can't multiply by three, I bet you Ben doesn't have a perfect three home runs every time. I bet it's more like two here, three here.
It doesn't matter.
Well, yeah, of course. Neither does the points and whose line is it anyway.
I don't have 50 billion.
Or I just want to mash up of all my like intro phrases like, hey, what's up? It's me.
No, that's weird. Yeah. Okay. All right, so just now that RJ's ranting on, we're going to go on to the next part of the show, which is hashtag whale mail of the week. RJ, take it away.
This week's whale mail reads, hey, Ben and RJ, what comedy are you most looking forward to in 2017? Also, what episode should I go back and listen to? Like, which are the best? From a whaler, not a whaler. That's like W-A-I-L-E-R.
This guy's clever.
Not a whaler. W-H-A-L-E-R.
Or gal.
Or gal. Or dog. We don't know.
We don't judge.
My dog can work an iPad. Yeah. Okay, so let's start with this first part. Any comedy at all, I guess. A movie, a sketch show. What are you looking forward to in 2017?
Yeah, it's not very specific. I like that. Definitely any new episodes that are coming up of Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Mm-hmm. I've said it before. I'll say it again. Brooklyn Nine-Nine is the funniest thing out there right now on TV.
At all? Or it's TV?
On TV.
All right. I'll take your Brooklyn Nine-Nine funniest on TV, and I'll raise you a Rick and Morty Season 3 slated to come out in 2017. I'm very excited for that.
Yeah.
It's so funny. It's like Dan Harmon, he's made Community. He's in a bunch of stuff. He's such a great writer.
I need to get into that.
And they've done such good spoofs on sci-fi and like old movie classics. And it's so ridiculous. Well done. It's so funny. And it's like Rick and Morty is like a spoof on like Doc and Marty from Back to the Future.
Got it.
And there's just nods like, you know, there's so much nihilism and, you know, existential grief. And
But it's very, like, it's similar to Adventure Time in that it's a cartoon. So
it is animated.
It has, like, kind of no boundaries.
Yeah, there's no bounds because it's animated. It's kind of like Futurama because it's kind of set in that kind of, like, multidimensional travel.
But even, like, the style of art, it looks very similar to Adventure Time. Am I wrong?
I don't know. Adventure Time is like kind of made up things. It like exists in like a human world.
Okay.
So it is different, but I don't know.
Where do you find it? Is it on Netflix?
Is it on Netflix? I think it's on Hulu. I don't know. I found the DVD somewhere, like a Blockbuster in Omaha.
I'm looking at photos. No, this is way more like Family Guy.
You didn't even hear my Blockbuster joke.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
You forgot the rule of improv.
Yeah,
number one is listen.
Don't think while you're listening.
I said
Blockbuster. That's so funny, RJ.
It was a Blockbuster in Omaha.
Oh, wow. That's so funny.
I know. Isn't that so clever of me?
But you know what that means. It's time for the show for Ben's Wacky.
Oh, gosh.
Just kidding.
I'm like, I got you. You actually tricked me. I'm like, what the heck is going on with you? Freaking idiot, can't read the script.
So RJ, where can people find us?
No, I want to you really aren't listening. Oh my gosh, you really aren't listening. The second part of the question that this whaler, not a whaler, wants to know episode I'm assuming of our show, what episode should I go back and listen to, like which are the best?
That's gotta be about our show.
That's gotta, I mean, let's assume
season one of Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yes, season one, episode three,
Halloween. Yeah, what do you say, Rage?
If you want to go back, if you haven't listened, if this is your first one listening to, or you've not listened to all of them, I really like our one about jokes. This one's kind of similar in the sense that we talk about how it breaks down the structure of a joke, what it does to your brain, that to that effect. I also really love our Napoleon Dynamite episode.
That's a good one.
It's just a fun time.
Yeah.
What about you, man?
I would have to send you straight back to Why Is Seinfeld Funny? I think it's our second episode ever. That show is so near and dear to my heart. There's not a day that goes by that I don't quote it or find myself in a situation that is also on the show. It's real life, and that's why I love it. And it was one of my favorite
Here's topics to cover. Feeling good all the time.
Yep. We all got a little bit of Kramer in us.
Yeah, I would love to do an episode all about Kramer. Why is Kramer? Right? Why is Cosmo Kramer funny? That would be amazing.
That's an open-ended question, man.
I know, right?
But anyway, RJ, where can people find us this time?
You can find us, you can always find our podcast on the iTunes podcast app, Google Play, or Stitcher. Be sure to check out our Twitter page at WhalePod or our Facebook page, Why Am I Laughing? Don't forget to email us at whyamilaughingpod@gmail.com. Send us anything. We read it. A picture, a video, a really deep existential question, social security numbers. We'll read whatever you want. I don't care.
Probably not that.
Okay, well, whatever, man.
There's no limits except for illegal stuff.
Please don't send us personal information.
You can find RJ at Rodolfo the Brown on Twitter.
And you can find Ben at kangaroo-kickstarter.com.
Excellent
it's,
improv.
It's not Twitter. It's an actual website that he's starting just to get kangaroos on their feet.
Thanks again for tuning in this week. We need to thank bensound.com for all of our theme musics. Tell your friends. Update on the iTunes rating contest.
Woo!
Yeah, we need to enter a sound effect. We didn't make it.
No, but like we did make it.
We made an impact.
Yeah, we had like 11 people come out of the woodwork to give us some reviews.
We're so thankful.
Yeah, and honestly, the more reviews that we get, the more we're going to want to do fun contests where we throw out puffy paint t-shirts.
Yep.
Honestly, we made a bad investment, and now we have 500 puffy paint t-shirts that we got to get rid of. Yeah. So
it's pretty rough.
We'll think of some contests. In the meantime, I'll be using them as dish rags because I don't have any money.
That's smart. You can check back every Why Am I Laughing Wednesday for a new episode. Next week, we're going to be talking about
your birthday.
My birthday.
And whatever you want, man.
So it's a surprise.
Surprise.
Shout out to España.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Thank you again for tuning in. We'd like to leave you with a joke. Comedy is all about
listening.
Improv.
Yeah. Good one.
All right. See you next Wednesday. Goodbye.
See you never, 2016.
We out.